You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Quick correction, folks, as far as when you're going to be able to see the film there in St. George, Utah. 2:40 p.m. is correct today, 2:40 p.m., and then 7 p.m. tomorrow. So make some plans to get down to St. George, Utah, to the Pine View Theater tomorrow at 7 p.m. for a screening there. For those of you that are on our Utah affiliate that can make it down, encourage you to check out Finding Courage. And how appropriate that we've been having some focus on the CCP and what they have done relative to my next guest. He's General Counsel of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy, a fellow at the National Security Institute at George Mason University, Antonin Scalia Law School. He's co-author of the forthcoming nonfiction, The Hidden Nazi, available for pre-order right now on Amazon. And I encourage you, if you would, to use Smile Amazon and choose Faith Harvest Church. That's Smile Amazon. Choose Faith Harvest Church as your charity and get the book, The Hidden Nazi. And it's my pleasure to welcome Dean Reuter to the program. Dean, welcome. So good to have you. Thanks for being here.
Well, it's tremendous to be on with you, Pastor Greg. Thank you so much for the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. It's shocking to me, but I guess, right, we've got, Pocum China Joe sitting in the White House right now, making agreements with the Communist Chinese Party to basically subterfuge America, its constitution, and our constitutional republic. So I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that there was something of this nature, an agreement made with this monster. Talk to me about this hidden figure that was responsible, as I understand it, essentially for Auschwitz.
That's unfortunately, Pastor Greg, that's right. And one quick amendment to your opening. Thank you for the generous introduction. The book is out, so it's not pre-ordering now. You can actually go on Amazon, as you suggested, or go to a bookstore. It's in hardback, it's in paperback, it's in Audible, and it's on Kindle. But the story focuses around our hunt, me and a couple other researchers and my co-authors, for Hans Kammler, who is the hidden Nazi. That's where the title of the book gets its name. Hans Kammler, even for the SS, Pastor Greg, if you can imagine, he was a despicable, notorious man. There were others, other leaders in the SS. We dug up some quotes when they're talking about Hans Kammler. They described him as the worst person I ever knew. And these are quotes from the people who themselves were murderers, ideologues in a time of war. And they thought Hans Kammler was the bad guy. He was, Kammler was an architect and an engineer, and he actually picked out Auschwitz as the site for the killing camp, the big killing camp, and the slave labor camp. He designed that camp, Pastor, the meets and bounds of it. As an architect and an engineer, he laid out the infrastructure for the camp. Some of it already existed, but he doubled it in size and then redoubled it in size again. And then he put the gas chambers and the ovens in there, contracted with outside contractors to install the killing apparatus of the Holocaust. And he was not nearly done there. He then duplicated that work at camps throughout the Reich. Not every concentration camp was a killing camp. Many of them were slave labor camps, but many of them were killing camps. And he played a fundamental, undeniable role in the Holocaust. And nobody's ever revealed this before the book, The Hidden Nazi.
This is just, and part of the story of this that I think is most troubling was the agreement that our nation made with him, rather than allowing the full extent of the prosecution of the law. Can you speak to that for a moment, please?
Yeah, happy to do so. Conventional history, when we started in on this project, would record that Hans Kavler, as declared by a German court, died by his own hand in May of 1945 as the war ended. He committed suicide, according to conventional history. But we thought that story just doesn't feel right to us, not given what we'd already learned about the man and the breadth of power. He went on from the Holocaust to rule over Germany's slave labor camps, and then to rule over all of Germany's secret weapons, including not just their nuclear research, not just the Messerschmitt jets, the first jets ever deployed in wartime, but also the German missiles, the V-1 and the V-2 rockets. And people probably have heard the name, your listeners have heard the name Wernher von Braun, the Nazi rocket scientist who came to the United States at the end of the war. Everybody thought the Americans just stumbled on the rocket team, that we were lucky to get them and keep them all out of the hands of the Nazis. But we showed that it was Hans Kavler in this deal. We call the Kavler deal. He delivered the rocket team to the United States. We can show that he was in control of the rocket team, right. But we can also show that he moved them twice late in the war to keep them out of the hands of the Soviets and really park them right in front of the advancing American army. So he delivered them. The problem with our whole thesis, Pastor Greg, was that, well, if he made this secret deal with the Americans, why did he commit suicide at the end of the war? And that's one of the big reveals in the hidden Nazi. He didn't actually commit suicide. We have the documents, the U.S. records, that show he was in custody of the U.S. Army long after his supposed suicide.
It's really atrocious. You know, it ties in with our emphasis this morning on understanding the CCP, but I think it also speaks to just a general understanding of how this kind of evil has made its way into, you know, into our country as well, Dean, in so many ways. You know, this is truly an act of lawlessness. This isn't an act of of contrition, of a repentant individual, at least to what we can understand. This is the act of an individual who maintained a level of power and an American entity that seemed willing to trade morality and trade the rule of law and justice. You know, I don't know, somewhere in there the trade-off just, you know, at the end of the day, there seems to be a line that was crossed here. To the best of my understanding, do you see it similarly, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is a very complicated calculation, Pastor Greg, I would say. I'm slow, I would say, to second guess the deal the Americans on the ground made, because, you know, fully a year or a year and a half before the war was over, everyone, including the Germans, knew that Germany was going to lose that war.
Right.
And everyone also knew, on all sides, all the Allies, including the Russians, knew that the Germans had these superior missiles, and that whoever got the rocket team was going to have a 10-year head start in the Cold War.
Yeah.
And that was the calculation. The Russians were going to be an existential threat to the United States. And on the ground, in the moment, it was decided that we've got to do everything we can to get that rocket team and bring them to the United States, and at the same time, keep them out of the hands of the Russians. Those were the stakes.
Oh, yeah.
But
understood.
You're very correct that it's a complicated moral calculation. And in doing our research, I found that there were basically, in Germany, there were two sorts of teams operating in post-war Germany. One was in charge of rounding up scientists and other assets and things that could be used by the United States and the Western Allies against the Soviets, sort of a war reparations kind of philosophy.
Uh-huh.
And the other batch of teams were people rounding up the war criminals. And Kavler was both. I mean, he had something to offer, but he was among the worst of the war criminals. And he literally has the, not literally, I'm sorry, he figuratively has the blood of millions of people on his hands. And it is astonishing that he got off scot-free.
Well, you know, I think about, you know, from a biblical course, I think about, you know, God and the Canaanites, right? I mean, what did the Lord tell Saul about, you know, what he needed to do in wiping them out? And of course, he didn't. And that came back, you know, in many ways. That was what ended up becoming Purim and the story of Esther was a descendant of that, you know, kingship. But I think about, you know, Patton, right? I mean, what did Patton tell them? He said, "Let me go in and set the Russian people free. Let me go in and end communism right here, right now. I'm there. I'm at the border. I can see them. I can stop this evil right here, right now, in its tracks, and set the Russian people free." And of course, you know, Roosevelt was a buddy with Stalin, and he said no.
Yeah, I mean, there were some really complicated as well calculations being made by the big three, by Stalin, Roosevelt, and Churchill at the end of the war, and the way Europe was divided up, and, you know, what became the Iron Curtain and what became communist territory, communist-controlled territory, and free territory. And it is astonishing how close we could have come to defeating communism in that moment. The Russians were a mighty army, but they were just as war-weary as the Western allies.
Well, and they were not fortified. I mean, Dean, they didn't have the fortification at that border. There was a path. There was a path that Patton saw to potential victory. And Churchill knew how evil Stalin was. Back with more coming up right after this. Now is a critical time to be vigilant in the defense of our freedom. There's no better way to do so than by joining the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC. AMAC is one of the fastest growing conservative organizations in America. Well over 2 million people have joined and now carry the AMAC membership card. AMAC was built by regular folks who feel the same way you do. You're not alone. AMAC believes in and stands up for the values that made America so great. We're fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of federal government. We believe in the sanctity of our Constitution. So if you're 50 or over and hold to traditional American values, you no longer have to feel alone. Call the Association for Mature American Citizens, AMAC, and get great discounts and support your values. Call today, 855-696-7930, 855-696-7930. Use the code Pastor Greg, get your first year absolutely free. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, lockdowns, inflation, and the list goes on? There's something you can do. Buy from companies that believe what you and I believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there's been one company willing to stand with you since 2012, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer nationwide coverage using the same towers as all the major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and discounts for veteran and first responder heroes and multi-line accounts. They are 100% U.S.-based, providing exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares our values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, first responders, and veterans. Use the code CHOSEN for free activation. Call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Call today. Use the code CHOSEN, patriotmobile.com/chosen.
Thank you for tuning into Chosen Generation. Chosen Generation is about equipping, encouraging, and challenging this generation to engage culture and to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our city, county, state, and nation to be the Christian influence and light that we have been called to be. Pastor Greg is committed to seeing God's life-changing power work in you. If you need prayer today or have a question, you can reach us at 830-446-8255. 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. If your church or group would like to have Pastor Greg come and share his passion to raise up a chosen generation, he is available to bring that same life-changing message and anointing to your event. Again, that number is 830-446-3624. 830-446-3624. Give us a call and keep on listening, because you are God's chosen generation.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg, host of the Chosen Generation Radio Show, thanking you for tuning in. I have been battling COVID and double pneumonia, and I want to tell you what I did to overcome. Quercetin with bromelain, 1,600 milligrams, 800 milligrams twice a day. Vitamin D3, 10,000 IUs. Zinc, 100 milligrams, 50 times 2. Vitamin C, 2,000 milligrams. I'm using Airborne. Also had a lot of prayer, and my doctor immediately put me on azithromycin and dexamethasone as soon as we got the positive result, along with Symbicort and albuterol. I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm simply saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that we can do to combat this, and I hope that you will stock your pharmacy in your house with the quercetin, the vitamin D3, the zinc, and the vitamin C. God bless you.
Now, back to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg.
Pastor Greg.
And don't forget, you can get more Chosen Generation at www.chosengenerationradio.com.
So much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here. Well, folks, I'm very pleased to have as my guest Dean Roy. Now, is it Reuter or Reuter? How do you like to pronunciate that, sir?
It's Reuter, like the Reuters newspaper.
Okay, I was thinking that, so I just want to make sure I said it right. Dean Reuter, author, attorney of The Hidden Nazi, the story of General Hans Kammler. You probably never heard of this guy. You probably never heard this story before. That's why they call him the hidden Nazi. And we were getting into, you know, kind of the mechanisms of this situation and some of the background on this, and Roosevelt and Stalin and Churchill. And of course, Churchill in his writing said he didn't trust Stalin. He felt that Stalin was potentially another Hitler in the making of sorts. Roosevelt leaned in that direction, and we talked a little bit about my friend Patrick Wood in the break and some of those things, and you had talked about that. But let's get back to Hans Kammler, because he lived out some life. It didn't seem as though justice found him, but what happened to him, and what will listeners glean from your book, The Hidden Nazi, that can be applicable to where we sit today?
Yeah, great question. A lot to unpack there. But
sure.
The ultimate fate of Kammler, you know, according to conventional history, he committed suicide. But we have documents that prove, and we footnote them, and we even put a couple of them in the book, that show that he didn't die at the end of the war. He surrendered to the U.S. Army in what we call the Kammler deal, where he delivered the scientist to us to try and save his own life. And the United States had him in custody at the end of the war in central Austria, where we were interrogating him about missing Nazi funds, millions of marks. In central Germany, where we were interrogating him about stragglers, scientists that hadn't been scooped up yet by the Americans. He was helping identify them. And then we even have him in American custody in Nuremberg on the eve of the Nuremberg trials, and most likely giving supporting testimony for the upcoming prosecution of the 24 Nazis in the hierarchy. He should have been in the docks. He should have been a defendant.
Right.
He had more blood on his hands than anybody else in the docks. That includes some notorious names that everybody's heard about: Goering and Goebbels and Speer, Bormann, who was tried in absentia. But after that, I mean, we can prove we had him through March of 1946, so 10 months after the war. And then in the file that we've uncovered, there's an extradition request from Great Britain saying, hey, give us Hans Kammler. He bombed London and Southampton ruthlessly with these missiles, and we want him. And there's a note in the file saying, we don't object to the extradition on the American side. And then poof, it's like Hans Kamler never existed. There's not another shred of paper out there on him. So there is a chance. There is a chance that Hans Kamler was, you know, taken out back and executed in an unofficial way. There's a chance he was given over to Great Britain and they executed him summarily or had a closed trial.
Mm-hmm.
Our best guess, though, based on some other cases we also uncovered, is that he actually went to South America with the help of the United States. But there's a little bit of speculation involved in that, and we're very clear in the book where we're talking about proven fact, things
right.
that we can demonstrate, and then some things that we have to sort of guess at.
Well, and you know, one of the things that we talked about, you know, in the break too, is the morality of all of this. And you know, when you go back and you look at communism is a godless mindset, a godless thought process. And you can see, you know, we look at the 60s as a demarcation place where we say this is where America turned, and there's a lot to unpack relative to that, I believe. But I also believe that my friend Patrick Wood and his friend Mr. Sutton in the Trilateral Commission Parts 1 and 2 and in his book Technocracy Rising, and there are other writers out there that I believe speak to this as well, would say that a lot of these issues actually started back in the late 1800s. And so, you know, the reason why you had a Woodrow Wilson that introduced us to the League of Nations, if you will, right? The beginning of this United Nations, which is an albatross, I believe, around our necks today, started in right after World War One, and in many respects might have well created World War Two. So there's a lot to unpack there, Dean.
There is. I mean, I think it's very fair to draw a straight line between World War One and World War Two, and see them as one together, as one big moment in history. I also think, you know, Woodrow Wilson, you're right about the League of Nations. You're right about their perspectives on international law. I think Woodrow Wilson can also be saddled with the invention of the modern administrative state. Everybody, every mm-hmm. one of your listeners mm-hmm. knows about these multiple alphabet agencies. Those were popularized initially in the era and by Woodrow Wilson, who said, we need learned experts to staff administrative agencies who can make the fine decisions about how America ought to be run. And that's antithetical, Pastor Greg, to our Constitution, which requires decision makers to be elected officials and to be in the executive branch responsible to elected officials. Right now, we have too many people making too many key decisions that are really not accountable to the people. That's a big fundamental problem with the administrative state that you and I were discussing just a couple minutes ago.
Well, and it also speaks to John Adams' statement, you know, that our Constitution is fit only for a moral people. I wrote about this and included some context from my friend George Barna and his research in a blog post that I put out yesterday, asking for some financial assistance here for our radio program and our ministry in India, but also trying to give directional information about this battle that we are in and why it truly is, in my estimation, Dean, a spiritual war. But when I say that, I'm not over simplifying it and saying that there aren't any boots on the ground issues, if that makes sense.
It does. I keep finding myself coming back to the word complicated. One of my other big concerns is the way the younger, I'm going to sound like an old codger here, but the way the younger generation is being brought up, one, you know, without a knowledge of history, and I keep hearing you refer to history in ways that tell me you've been brought up with an understanding of history, and I, I really worry about basic education in this country when it comes to history.
Mm-hmm.
The number of kids that don't know what World War II was about, or don't know the Holocaust, or don't recognize the word Auschwitz. I mean, it's stunning. And the number of people that don't know the three branches of government, some pretty basic stuff. But what they do seem to be absorbing is a whole new philosophy on freedom of expression and liberty, where, you know, my right to express myself ends if somebody is offended. And that's not the world I was brought up with, and that's not a world that's recognizable to the founders or to anybody probably of our generation.
Well, and because
that really troubled me.
Because our founders had a biblical worldview. Let me give you a couple of percentages that are going to speak to exactly what you just said. According to these recent polls, 71% consider feelings, experience, or the input of friends and family as their most trusted sources of moral guidance. Think about how powerful that statement is when 71% of the population is believing that. And this one, 52% claim that determining moral truth is up to each individual. There are no moral absolutes that apply to everyone all the time. I want you to stop and think about those two things, and you'll find that information at my website at chosengenerationradio.com. It's the blog after supporting Patriot Mobile, and I want you to really read that and think about
that. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, "What did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.